All right. How are we doing this morning? Good? Good. Let's open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right. Sweet. Good job, Everett. So this is the title for this morning's message. You can handle the truth. Have you guys heard that saying? You can handle the truth. You guys know that? I didn't copyright. I probably should have copyrighted that. You can handle the truth. That's the message we're going to be talking about today in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to be going through 3 points. So the first point, you want to go ahead and put that up? Oh, there we go. He sees you, stir up the gift, and you don't have to be afraid. I'm going to show you this so you guys see what this is. It's a belt. It's a really cool belt. My wife got this for me when I started teaching, and it's broken. but I'm going to tell you guys more about this later. This is a hook, so you have to really pay attention. I'm just going to pull this out randomly, and you just got to be paying attention. It's going to be a time that you don't know, just like when Jesus got me back, right? You don't know, so just be ready. We'll talk about that later. So I want you to take a moment first to think about the most fearless person you can think of. Maybe some of you are like, oh, it's Garrett Flynn. He's probably one of the persons that I would think of. Captain America, maybe. Now think of the person that's just so unbothered by struggles. It just seems like there's like life is just going, hard things are happening around them. They're just like, oh, it's all good. It's fine. We're going to make it, right? Now, how many of you thought of yourself? Probably not many of us. I know I didn't. But today, we're going to learn that we can be fearless because of what God has done. And that we don't have to be afraid. So, verse 1, 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Is anyone else like a statistic person? They love reading numbers, yeah? We got some statistic people in here. I love statistics. This one is a bit concerning. 19.1% of Americans have diagnosed anxiety disorder. That's 40 million people in the U.S. have a diagnosed anxiety disorder. That gives some of us anxiety in here, doesn't it? Like, oh my gosh, is it me? Do I have anxiety? We live in just a culture of fear. Everything's telling you to be afraid. And there's some scary stuff that's going on in the world today. But the good news is we don't have to be afraid. So Paul, he says that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the, this is verse 1, promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. So this is Paul's last letter that he actually writes before he is executed. And for everyone in here that has children, think of your son. If you knew that this was the last thing that you could say to your son, it'd probably be pretty important, I'm guessing, right? You wouldn't just be casually joking like, oh, whatever. No, you'd be like, son, listen up. This is important. I'm going to die, but it's going to be okay. What I'm going to tell you right now, this is really important. Listen up. So that's sort of the feel of this letter. And one thing I wanted to point out here too in verse 2, it says grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace. In every other one of Paul's letters, his intro is just grace and peace, except to Timothy and to Titus, the pastors. The only other times that he says mercy is to Timothy and Titus, the pastors. And I thought that was just a cool word. And Spurgeon, if you don't know Charles Spurgeon, he's an amazing pastor. He's like the preacher of preachers, right? Back in, it was a long time ago. he had a sermon on this, that your pastor needs mercy. And he was saying that for himself. He's like, I need your mercy because I'm going to mess up. I'm not perfect. And you guys see me, right? And pastors need mercy. So just maybe that's a special word for Garrett and other pastors in your life. Maybe there's pastors that have hurt you, that have done real harm to you, or have offended you in a certain way, and that you're holding a grudge or bitterness towards them, or maybe you're just annoyed by them. Be merciful to them. They need your mercy. They need your grace. And they need peace. So, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So go ahead and put up point number one, Everett. I'm going to read verse 5 again. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I feel like this is a special word for mothers and grandmothers out here this morning. God sees you, and what you're doing, pouring into your children and in your grandchildren, is so important. This faith that was in Timothy, that we get this rich letter from, that Paul is writing to Timothy, it started in his mother and his grandma pouring into him, taking him to Sunday school, right? Making sure that he's getting all dressed and nice for Sunday school, taking him to church, right? They probably didn't have Sunday school like we do now. But it was that faith that was in their mother and grandmother that was poured into Timothy. And now, Timothy, this is a portion of the Bible that for centuries and millennia we're reading about today. And it started with getting down and saying, Timothy, Jesus, God is real, and he loves you, and he sees you. And that's just such a cool word. That love that you have for your children and your grandchildren has an eternal value. And I believe that's a word for us too, that he sees us. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, man, I work so hard. I'm working 2-3 jobs to provide for people. Nobody says thank you. Or, man, I'm coming here, I'm serving, I'm putting out chairs. Is this even worth it? Does it even matter? God sees you in those moments, and he cares. And there's eternal significance in what you do. And verse 6 says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. All right, now I want everybody to repeat after me. Ready? Anazo poreo. You guys say that? Anazo poreo. You guys are Greek studiers now. Congratulations, you got your degree in Greek. That is a Greek word for stir up. And when I was studying this, that phrase really stuck out to me. And when you're reading through the Bible, if there's a word that sticks out to you, you're like, huh, what does that mean? I don't really know. Don't just keep moving. Maybe God's trying to speak to you and say, no, like do a deep word study, like find out what that word means. Pull out your lexicon. You guys have like those, or a concordance. Does anyone have one of those? I was gifted one. You have? Oh, sweet. How old are you? 18, and you've got one of those huge things. I use it as like a step stool in my office. It's massive. It's seriously huge. They have it on your phone now. Like if you get the Blue Letter Bible app, you've got that whole giant thing that someone took hours. And yeah, there we go. Garrett's got it right now. And years on writing this thing out, it's just available to you in your pocket now. but anatoporeo is the word stir up. So I'm going to read verse 6 again. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of which God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So and our second point is stir up the gift. Yeah, there we go. Good job. You're so fast. Stir up the gift. And that word in the Greek, it means to fan the flame or to keep it at full flame. That has like a little bit, there's a different meaning to that than just stir up the gift, keeping it at full flame. And there's a truth here that God has gifted us. Every single person in here has a gift from God. It doesn't mean that it's preaching or singing songs. It could be running a computer. It could be hanging drywall. It could be what all these things that we do, teaching little kids, building cars. Chris, you are so gifted. Those cars are so cool, Chris, yeah. And I'm sure many of you guys, those cars, that's just so cool. Coming to a church and it's like, man, really cool cars. These are gifts that God has given you and they're to be used for his glory. And I know sometimes we can get discouraged and feel like, oh, I'm just not good at anything. God has made you good at something. Right? And he wants you to keep using that gift. Keep it up at full flame. Because if you, in that verbiage, fan into flame or keep at full flame, if you're not using the gift and you're not stoking the fire, you're not using it for him, you're going to actually burn out. Which, in my mind, I don't know what you guys think, but when you think of burnout, I think that means that you need to stop what you're doing, go to Hawaii for a few weeks. You know, right? That sounds nice. You're like, oh, yeah, like everybody, it's God's will for you to go to Hawaii. We just all got to go there and relax, like pull away. But here, he's saying to prevent burnout, you actually need to use your gift. It kind of blew my mind. I was like, what? Because I know there's some very close family members of mine who are feeling burnt out and they're pulling away and they're like, no, I can't do anything. I've got to go retreat. I've got to pull out from church. I can't serve in church anymore. I can't do this. I'm burnt out, right? That's sort of what we hear and what I see when people do express burnout. It's like, oh, don't do anything. But here, there's an encouragement Paul has to Timothy. No, actually keep using that gift. In Matthew, you don't have to flip there with me. I'll flip there. Unless, did you write that? No, okay, sweet. I got it, don't worry. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know for me, I find myself way too often in looking for other things for rest than Jesus. I'm a big disc golfer. Did we have any other disc golfers in? No. You're like, that's not a real sport. yeah. But I love it. It's fun. That's one of the things that I'm like, oh, I just need to go disc golfing and then like my life will be better. But it's just not true. Maybe physically it will be good. And with the right heart, it can be great. But if I'm not seeking Jesus in it, if I'm not asking the Lord to use it to give me rest and keeping my mind on him, if I'm neglecting reading the word and saying, well, I'm just really tired. I don't have time to sit in the presence of God. I just need to have a vacation or something and just get away, unplug. that's actually not the rest that we need. Maybe our bodies feel a little bit better, but my soul is not at rest. I'm going to read Matthew 11, 28 again. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Does that describe any of you today, this morning? Do you labor? Are you heavy laden? Do you need rest? Come to me, he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We need to find our rest in Jesus. That's the real rest that we need, is our souls. And I believe that there's such a stirring right now, not only just in the country, but in the world, right? In our valley too. I was telling Josh and Garrett, we were hosting the Ascend Arts Conference. It's a Christian arts conference. It's some of the most incredible art that I've ever seen. It was really cool. Has anyone heard of Zorro the drummer? No. He's actually have you heard of him, Brandon? Yeah, number one drummer in the world. It's pretty insane. He was at our church last year, and he's a Christian, and he was drumming. It was really cool. It's all sorts of art, sculpting, drawing, painting, music, right? So anyways, a few weekends ago, I was driving to this because we're helping host the event, and on our way, I was passing the Jackson Hot Springs, right? Not the Well Springs, you guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah? It's right off 99, and there was cars everywhere. I was like, whoa, what is going on? And it was a salamander festival, yeah? Country fair type thing. There's a lot of stuff that goes on there. And I was driving there, I'm like, wow. Like, I could feel there's this darkness that was happening here. And then, but then we got to the church, and some of the most beautiful artwork done for in the name of Jesus I've ever seen. I could just see, this is spiritual warfare. This is real. You could see it. The difference. And anyways, I'm skipping forward. So the Ascend conference ends, that festival ends. This is church last week at ACF. We had our family service. So every fifth Sunday, we stop the children's ministry. The children's ministry gets a break, and all the kids are in service. So it's crazy and it's fun. And then we have a bounce house outside after, and we have a barbecue, and it's super fun. And I'm like jumping in the bounce house with the kids. I've got four children, and the oldest just turned 5. So sleep doesn't happen in our house. But I'm bouncing in there with my second youngest. Her name's Charity. And then some kid pooped their pants. I'm like, I gotta get out of here. This bounce house smells so bad. I'm like climbing out of the bounce house. Kids are like climbing over me. And then one of our elders is like, hey, Justin, this guy, he loves music. You should meet him. I'm like drenched in sweat, probably smell like poop. And he's like, hi. And I'm like, hey there. And he looks kind of like a Ashland Deep transient type person. You know what I'm saying? Like beads, long hair. If you clean him up, he could like play the role of Jesus in one of the films. Like just kind of had that look, right? And I'm like, hey, what's your name? I'm Justin. And he's like, my name's Shane, but you can call me Brother Shane. I was like, all right, Brother Shane, really good to meet you. And he's like, hey, I just got saved a year ago. And I really feel like it's God's put on my heart to unite the body of Christ in the valley through worship. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I lead worship here. And he's like, oh, cool. So we start talking. And he's like, yeah, I had this prayer booth out at this Salamander Fest, and I was praying for people and praying that Jesus would save these people that are in this wicked, dark stuff, right? I was like, that's so cool. And he's like, yeah, I really have a heart for people because do you know like the Goddess Temple in the Well Springs area? And I'm like, yeah, I've heard of it. And he's like, I was the priest last year. He's like, I was the main guy. I was like, what? That's awesome. Well, praise God. He's saved now. And now he's reaching those people for Jesus. And anyways, that spoke to me. I'm like, man, this is such a spiritual battle that's going on. When a lot of the times we feel like it's physical, Like, if I could just get some more sleep, if I could just go do this, if I could get the house that I've wanted, or if I could just pay these things off, these physical things we worry about. But man, there's people's souls that are going to hell. And we're worried about other things, right? Praise the Lord that we're saved. We know, man, I know where I'm going, but how terrifying would it be with the world that we're living in today to not know where you're going after you die? There's a spiritual battle going on all around us. And we need to stir up the gift. I'm going to tell this other story. I've been riding my bike to work. I love riding my bike, and also I love not paying for gas. So I was riding my bike one day home, and you guys know Oak Street in Ashland. You get down there, and then there's Nevada Street. Then there's like the dog park, and I was getting on the bike path right there. So I'm like flying down this Oak Street. I'm trying to hit those new speed bumps. I'm like trying to get some air on those, right? And I'm like coming up to turn on Nevada, and there's this car that's parked right here on Nevada, and I'm kind of like waiting. I'm like, okay, are you gonna like come out? I'm on a bike. I don't want to, you know, collide with them. So I'm kind of waiting, and he's just sitting there for a long time. I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna. Hopefully he sees me, because I just kind of see him like this. And anyway, so I like kind of look in there as I'm turning. I'm like, oh, he's so distracted. Look at that guy. He's just texting on his phone at a stop sign. I'm like, wow, he's so distracted. Then I look up after I was distracted by him, and I hit the curb. And I fly over the curb doing flips and everything. I like brace on the ground. I hit myself. I roll. I'm like, oh, okay. I get up. Like, that was embarrassing. And actually, the Lord taught me a spiritual lesson not to judge other people and be distracted by their distraction, just to worry on where I'm going, right? But anyways, I was riding, and I'm like, oh, my hand hurts so bad. And then I look, and then it's like huge black and blue. I'm like, okay, that's broken. I broke my thumb, all right? And it was like right here, just snapped in half. And and I was like, okay. I went to the hospital, they x-rayed, get it all in the cast and whatnot, and it's hard because I'm the worship pastor at ACF, so I have to use my hands, and I couldn't use my hands, and I was like, well, I guess I can't lead worship, I gotta like pull away, I gotta not do things right. I'm like, Cody, I just need a break, I broke my hand, can I just like have some time off, right? And then I come to church like a couple weeks later, and there's this woman, her name is Joyce Radford. I think she's like 86, maybe 90s. She's really old. And I also lead our children's ministry. No offense if you're that age, but just perspective, I'm 26. So she's got me by some years. And I go into the children's ministry. I'm like, hey, Joyce. I'm like, how are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm doing great. I'm ready to serve. And I'm like, oh, but what'd you do to your arm? And she's got like a splint on. She's like, I broke my hand in four places. And I was like, what? And I was like, why aren't you going to the hospital? She's like, because Satan doesn't want me to serve. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, I felt so bad. I was like, man. I'm being outdone by someone that's that old. But that's so powerful. There is truth in that. Satan doesn't want us to use our gifts. He doesn't. He wants you to burn out. And there's no greater joy than using your gifts and allowing God to work through you to see his glory just work in other people's lives. I just think of this church, Garrett and Josh and the other leaders and Brandon and Steve, these guys that are like, yeah, let's just see what God wants to do. And he's using these guys' gifts to, I mean, look at where you're at today. The last time I was at here, we were at the other building, and this place is amazing. God's doing such an incredible work, working not just to provide place, but also in the lives of everyone that comes here. Man, I've heard some cool stories. God's doing an amazing work, but you have to be willing and obedient. Say, Lord, here I am, use me. Use whatever gifts you've given me to be glorified. Going back to Timothy, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to read that one more time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I love writing songs, and that's a gift that the Lord has given me in. But I've been held back by fear a lot in my life. And I actually relate a lot to Timothy. The word of the year for me to grow in, I don't know if you guys do that. Like, I pick a word, and this is what I want to grow in for the year. Mine has been confidence for the last several years. And if you guys don't know me, I'm very timid. I hate confrontation with a passion. Don't like doing that. So this really speaks to me, and I felt like I was sitting in my living room with my kids crawling over me, and my wife had this canvas, and this verse is written on it. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I felt like God spoke to me in that moment. He was like, you need to write a song on this verse. So I started writing a song on it, and that's kind of where this teaching came from. Just a little background, sorry. But I'm going to read John. I'm going to read a different verse. John 8:44 says, you are the Father. This is Jesus speaking. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So this is Jesus speaking about the devil, the enemy, right? I'm going to read that one more time. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay, you guys ready? It's time. You guys remember this? This is my belt. So when I was preparing for this message, I felt like there was something missing. I was like, God, I need an analogy, an illustration, something. I feel like there's something missing. And this was when I was getting ready for work one day. And I'm putting on my belt, and I would go to tighten it, and then it snaps. I'm like, man, this was my favorite belt. And then I go on my day and I'm like, wait a second. This is the analogy. And I tell my pastor, Cody. He's the senior pastor at Ashland Christian Fellowship. I said, Cody, I was praying that the Lord would give me an illustration for this teaching. And I felt like he gave one. I broke my belt. And before I explained it, he's like, you broke your belt? I was like, yes. He's like, where did you break your belt? And I was like, right in the swivel part. He's like, in the swivel part? I'm like, yes, right in the swivel part, Cody. And he's like, that's crazy. I'm like, why is this so crazy? He's like, I broke my belt this morning too. He's like, what time? I was like, 7:30. He's like, I broke my belt at 7:30. It was crazy. Whoops. It's broken more now. So what this analogy is, why this is so important, how what God spoke to me in this, is that this belt, this was my favorite belt. It was like, I've had it for years, right? And it broke. But the belt of truth will never break. So go ahead and pull up Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm going to reread that because it's such a manly verse, and we got some manly men in here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's pretty good. Do I get a thumbs up? Manly man? Yeah? Okay. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's the belt of truth that we're talking about. That's the truth that will never break. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is a spiritual battle that we're in right now. And the enemy wants you to live in fear. He wants you to be afraid. He wants you to think, if I use these gifts for your glory, if I stand out, if I tell someone about the gospel, they're going to think that I'm weird, that I'm going to lose my job. He wants us to live in fear. He doesn't want us to use the gifts. He doesn't want us to stir it up. He wants us to live in fear, but having girded your waist with truth. The truth is, this is what the truth is, going back to Timothy 1:7. The truth is, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You don't have a spirit of fear if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, that he is your Savior, that he's died for your sins. His Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in your body. He makes his presence is his home is in you. That's where he's at. His Spirit comes in and lives in us, and it seals us for the day of redemption. And he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The truth is, we do not have to be afraid. That word in the Greek, power, is dunamos. I think that's dynamite. That's where we get our word dynamite. The same Spirit that's in you puts dynamite to shame. Do you believe that? Or are you so caught up in fear like I am a lot of the times? A lot of times we don't feel that, do we? That I'm like, man, I've got a spirit of power. I'm like, I've got a spirit of tiredness, of timidity. Is that how you say that? Timidity? Of fear, right? But no, that's not the truth. I have a spirit of power and of love. And 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Jesus is love. God is love. Jesus also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest. It's Jesus. We need Jesus. If you're feeling afraid, don't cower away in fear. Turn to Jesus. If you feel like you don't have love for people, if you feel like you're just angry, turn to Jesus. If you feel like you can't think, you can't process, you're just like, man, I don't know what's going on. Turn to Jesus. Because the truth is, you have a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. We need to be preachers to ourselves. We need to preach this to ourselves every day. In Ephesians, it says, put on the full armor of God. That's what it means. You need to remind yourself who you are in Christ, not who the world tells you you are, not who your heart tells you you are, because our heart is wicked and deceiving, right? We need the word of God. We need his Spirit in us telling us who we are in Christ. Verse 8 It says, therefore, whoops, I'm in John. I got to flip back over. Verse 8 says, oh, it says therefore too. That's really cool. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. So it's not anything that we've done that God's like, oh, you know what? Justin, he's a pretty good guy, cleaned up his act. I'm going to save that guy. Nope. Nothing of what I have done. Nothing of what you have done. It's all because he wanted to. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, even before we could mess it up, or even before we could try to earn his love, it says before time began, he chose you. Amen. Verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. John Knox, he's a Scottish minister in the early 1500s. He has a beard that would put all of our beards to shame in here. It was glorious. He was also the founder of the Church of Scotland. These are the words that he said right before he died. He said, live in Christ, die in Christ, and the flesh need not fear death. That word in verse 10, I'm going to read that again, verse 10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished, that word abolished death. That word in the Greek, it means to render entirely idle, useless, unemployed, inactive, or inoperative. We don't even need to fear death. What's the point of death? Does anyone know what death means? It's enmity, it's separation with God, right? That's the whole point of death. That's death's job. Is to separate us from God. That's what happened in the garden, right? When they ate the fruit, you will surely die. They didn't die right in that instant, right? But they were taken out of the garden, which is where God's presence was. They were separated from God. But now because of Jesus, death doesn't have a job. He's holding out a sign, please. Right? Death has lost his job because of the work of Jesus. And now we don't even need to fear death. Death becomes a graduation into glory. And some of these, I was talking with some of our graduates in our college group at Ashland Christian Fellowship, and they're like, man, it was so cool. I got to shake the hands of the governor and all these important people. I'm like, man, that's awesome. And they told me that while I was writing this sermon, and I was like, man, can you imagine that day when we graduate into heaven and you get to fully embrace Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? That's going to be a glorious day. Verse 11, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. It's important for us to know what we believe, to really get into this word, and to study the history behind the word. Did you guys know that there's more evidence that Jesus Christ rose from the dead than, who's the Napoleon? You guys know the short French dude? Than he even existed. There's so much that we can learn about God's word, and also just keep knowing more of the word. But verse 12 says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. He doesn't say, I know what I have believed. I know whom. He knows his Savior, and you can too. And that's a reason why we don't have to be afraid. This is the truth. You can handle this truth because you can know your Savior. And it's all about knowing him more. It's not about religion and just trying to get your life together, making sure you get here at 10 a.m. but it's about knowing your Savior. Does he know you? Do you know him? Do you spend time in his presence? Do you spend time reading his word, worshiping him, just in silence and in community? Church is important. We can't do it alone. We need to know our Savior. So I'm going to end it this way. We're in a spiritual battle, but we need to put on the belt of truth. Not this belt. We need to put on Jesus. We need to preach to ourselves that we do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And we need to know the truth. So with that, let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. Something we do at ACF is we give room to respond to what God has spoken to us this morning. So if you're here this morning and you know that you've been living in fear, you know that you've believed the lies of the enemy that you need to be afraid and that you can't have peace. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know that God has given you gifts and you haven't been using them for his glory. And you want this morning to say, yes, Lord, I believe you that I don't have a spirit of fear. And I want to be used by you. I want to use the gifts that you have given me for your glory. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand while all of our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed? I want to pray for you. Yeah, I see those hands. Anyone else? Yeah. Lord, I just lift up these brothers and sisters that have raised their hand that are responding to your voice this morning and say, Lord, I want to be used by you in any way. Lord, all the gifts that you have given me, the very life and breath that you have given me, I want to give it back to you as an act of worship because of what you have done for me on the cross and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, in the indwelling of the Spirit that lives in me, that is not a spirit of fear, but of power. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak truth over them. Lord, that they would just take your word and believe it. God, that they would believe their beliefs and doubt their doubts. God, would you use them? Would you encourage them this morning? And Lord, we just pray that you would just be glorified here through this, through our fellowship, Lord. God, would you bless this time for those who prepared the food. Lord, would you bless them? God, we love you. We give you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.